stir us the faith to believe God for the impossible in each one of our lives, that we would step up to the challenge right now in America, hurting people everywhere. The use of alcohol has increased exponentially. People are discouraged, they're depressed, they're using drugs. Father, would you just stir us to faith and in these last days, not to be discouraged, not to think it's over, but to believe God that in these last days, God can still pour out His Spirit. And Father, that's what we want. Father, would you just stir us to faith, to pray like we've never prayed before, and to go forward on our knees, winning the lost. Father, we just pray that you would meet with us. Father, I thank you for all the prayer that has gone already towards this meeting. But Father, I pray that I would not disappoint them, that your Spirit would energize me, and that the Spirit of God would do a work in each one of our hearts, that we'll see the harvest clearly tonight as Jesus saw it, and be moved by His Spirit to win the lost all around us. Father, would you just revive us, Lord, and break our hearts for the hundreds and thousands that are wandering, searching for something more. Father, would you allow this church to meet those needs in this area? Lord, use us all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The next slide, I have put these testimonies inside of a little message, and there's two steps of faith that I want to talk about here. Number one, taking what God has said is true, and then acting upon it. And really, that's what faith is, just taking what God has said is true, and then acting upon it, applying it. Next slide, here's another definition. Faith is depending on God to be and to do what He said in His Word. Think about it, that's faith. And here, not just forgiving, but this is a tremendous verse just for prayer. Just asking God, proving God in prayer, asking for big things. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is no room to receive it. And next slide. We want to just begin talking about our medical NGO. And I would just like to have you turn to Matthew chapter 9. Because this passage really forms the basis of what we're doing there in Cambodia. And really gives us a real clear picture of the heart of God. God's heart breaks for the lost. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. That's His heart. When Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. How about us? And really, this is where I'm at here tonight. I just want to stir all of us to faith in the harvest, the people all around us that are waiting for you. Not just the pastor, not just the staff, not just the missionaries, the folks. What we're about to talk about tonight, it's really true. And it seems, as we've been traveling to many different churches, there seems to be a lack of faith in the truth of the harvest. But even in the year 2016, the harvest is just as great, truly plenteous. Let's read verse 35. And Jesus went about, this is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And we're actually doing this, not every disease or every sickness, but we're able to treat many people just following in the footsteps of Jesus. But I love verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved. And this is a tremendous verse. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And here it is, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we're going to talk about why I believe the labors are few. But I just want you to think about that. The harvest truly is plenteous. And then we have a prayer. Pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth labors into His harvest. This is God's heart, Jesus' heart. This should be our heart. And I just want to share a little testimony about our medical NGO. We're entitling it, Seeing God Do the Impossible. After 15 years, we finally were able to get registered with the government, and we have an NGO. It's called a non-government organization. N standing for non, G government, O organization. We have an NGO registered with the government, and we've been working especially in the area of thyroid disease. Now, this next slide will be unusual for a missionary, but the next slide, you'll see a lady's neck. And I just want you to notice something. She has a big bulge right here. She is suffering from a problem called endemic goiter, or she has an enlarged goiter, or an enlarged thyroid, which we call a goiter because of a lack of iodine. And what we've discovered is that there's a serious problem right now in Cambodia with a lack of iodine. And I was seeing this in the clinic. So we were doing these clinics in different areas, and I just noticed within the last 5 years that there was an alarming increase in these endemic, what we call endemic goiters or enlarged thyroids. So we met with the United Nations International Children's Fund, a nurse practitioner and I, and I presented my results. I said to the director, I said, I'm seeing an alarming number of goiters, and I predicted, based on empirical evidence, I said, I believe there's a problem with your salt. I believe there's a lack of iodine in the salt. And I called it correctly just from what I was seeing, and the guy said to me, he said, you're right. And he showed me on his computer results from his research that were not yet released to the government, and he told me, don't say anything yet, but he said, there's a serious problem, and what you are seeing is totally correct. There's a problem with the iodine not being in the salt. Vietnam had stopped putting iodine in their salt 5 years before, and it's affecting Cambodia. Obviously, we're in Cambodia, but iodine was stopped, or Vietnam stopped putting iodine in their salt, and a lot of the Cambodians get their salt from Vietnam. So, to make a long story short, we began helping the government with this iodine crisis, and as a result, they opened the whole country up to us. So now, the government wants us to go into every province and help with this problem. And as we go, we preach the gospel. So, obviously, we're missionaries first. I'm an evangelist first. But we're using medicine as a tool to bring people in, and then we can preach the gospel to them. The next slide is actually a Vietnamese lady, and you can see a perfect outline of the thyroid. Again, she's right on the Vietnam border, and she's suffering from a lack of iodine. So we were able to treat lots of people, but then we discovered that there was no iodine in the country. Believe it or not, as we were working with the government, I asked to see the sheet, the requisition sheet for the government. I mean, this is, you know, the top, you know, like our Surgeon General. There wasn't any iodine in the country. And the country is like having a crisis. And so we tried to help with that. But anyway, the Ministry of Health, like I said, they've asked us to go into every province. So we have an awesome open door. And that's our plans when we go back, to have clinics every other week and use this as a way to get into every province and preach the gospel. And I've recently taken a class on revival history with Dr. Rick Flanders, and God just spoke to me, just burdened me that I'm not doing enough evangelism. And we have some evangelists that work with us, and we're going to get them busy. And as we go to these clinics, we'll have lots of people come, and we're going to preach the gospel just like Jesus did. And we're really excited about this. And obviously, we're going to be planting churches. The clinics and the evangelism is just the beginning, and then we'll be doing follow-up and discipleship. In fact, Daniel Needham, Tom Needham's son, who was married just yesterday, he wants to come and help us with our new church planting strategy. We're going to try to do it like they're doing in Cameroon. So we're excited about that. Pastor Gilmore has been helping us with that too. So this is just, again, the point of entry, the first step, doing the evangelism, and then the follow-up discipleship, and then praying for God to raise up pastors right out of the new converts. And brother, we're going to be following you and your example. But we're really excited. Cambodia is ripe for the gospel. Just like the Bible says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Next slide. This is one of our clinics inside. Let me just tell you a little story. I was doing a follow-up clinic to this, and this man came in, and he was in a terrible moto accident. And he's riding his moto, or driving his moto, and there were two guys sitting in the back of his moto, so there was three on one moto, and he came across the bridge, like in the rain, slipped, and the two guys behind him crushed his shoulder. Now, if you know anything about anatomy, the proximal humerus broke through the glenohumeral joint, so he had a break right in the joint, plus the humerus was broken in half. So he came in, and he was just sitting there, content to live the rest of his life with that terrible break. And his fingers were already going numb, and honestly, there was nothing else. In other words, what I'm trying to say is I had to help the guy. I said, look, we got to help you. I mean, you can't live the rest of your life. And he was content just to live that way. And I said, look, we're gonna take care of you. So we arranged for him to go to the capital city, and we got him admitted to a military hospital. And I'm not one for bargaining, but an operation like that in the United States would be an easy $30,000. I got the military surgeon to do it for $300. So, and but this guy, he was just overwhelmed because we had compassion on him. And he just opened his heart to the gospel. And he accepted the Lord. And it was just a real neat story how we use medicine. Again, the goodness of God leading him, this patient, to repentance. But again, loving them, loving him, and then the Lord using that to bring him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have lots of stories. Let me just give you another story. We had a little baby that was having seizures. And the night before, I was talking to my wife. I said, we want to treat a B1 deficiency baby. It's called beriberi, vitamin B1 deficiency. It's real common in third world countries. And the reason why it happens is because the babies are drinking water, rice water, made out of polished white rice. So there's no vitamin B1 because it's just polished white rice. And the night before, we just hoping, Lord, give us a baby. We want to just, you know, save a baby. So the next day, my wife's on triage, and this little baby comes in with seizures, and sure enough, it was a vitamin B1 deficiency baby, and it was just a joy to give that baby an injection. Anyway, maybe for you. 50 milligrams of vitamin B1 followed up the next day, and the baby was cured. I mean, just little things like that can make a huge difference in a village. One time, two children were drowning, and one of our church members rescued them, and that definitely helped our church and the church's reputation. In fact, it was in the place where Micah helped us get that permit. But what I'm trying to say is compassion, like we read in Jude, makes a difference. And what we've discovered is that if we love people and meet their needs as much as we can, it really opens their hearts for what really matters, for what's really important. Obviously, the most important thing is seeing them come to Christ. But when we come into a village, they see us and they see the foreigner, and they right away put up a big wall. And so love through these clinics has really brought down that barrier, and we've been able to see many people come to Christ. I remember seeing a lady with a terrible thyroid condition. Now, she didn't have hypothyroidism. She had hyperthyroidism. She presented with Graves. And I could tell within 30 seconds what she had. And the Cambodian doctors just left her to die. She was months away from death. I saw her and I said, this lady has Graves. She had bulging eyes, racing heart, cachectic It was an easy diagnosis. We began treating her. Within 9 months, total transformation. She looked like a different person. But what was more important, her heart was just softened to the gospel. At first, she didn't want anything to do with the gospel. But after God just really ministered to her physical need through our medical clinics, she just opened her heart up and accepted the Lord. And then her brother got saved. So it was just, and through that, a church was started through that. And without love and the compassion through the clinics, we wouldn't have been able to do it. The next slide, this is just the outside of one of our clinics. And why don't we go to the next one now? I just want to quickly share something that happened with one of our church plants. Why don't you just move up? I just want you to show a listing of our churches. Why don't you go to the next slide? This one right here. Number 10. Church number 10 is the story that I'd like to share with you briefly here. And if we could just turn to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we find God's charge to Joshua. But the Lord used these verses in a mighty way in my own life, because we were given property. 10 acres of property was handed to me, just given to me, for one of these church plants. And it was church plant number 10. And that is a wonderful thing. And then we were able to purchase some property behind it. But then when we put up the fence, a nightmare occurred. 13 other owners of the same property came out, and they didn't come with fruit or vegetables. They came with knives and axes, and we, not no guns, but I quickly realized this is not the way it's supposed to be done, okay? But I tell you, it was hopeless. I'll be honest with you. A lawyer from the UK said, "You'll never get the property." But I said, "With God, all things are possible." And that's why this is one of the testimonies under the theme, "With God, all things are possible." But this is where the Lord brought me. The Lord brought me back to Joshua. Verse 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And I just asked the Lord, "Lord, did you give us the property? Is this your church?" And the Lord just confirmed in my own heart through these verses that, yes, we did the right thing. Yes, God gave us that property, and we were able to purchase the property behind it, but that God could deliver us. Verse 5, tremendous verse. This verse really encouraged me. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake." Now, when you are looking into the face of impossibility, these verses are awesome. They just encourage me, be strong and of a good courage. I mean, God was preaching to me through these verses, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." The principle there of memorizing and meditating on God's word, I had my men memorize this passage. Now look at verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." And I'll be honest with you, I was afraid, I was dismayed. It was hopeless. But out of hopelessness, God did a miracle. We were able to get the property back. Back up a little bit, brother, on the slides. We were able to get the property back. Now go forward if you can. One more slide. This was before. Now the next slide. Not only were we able to get the property back, the Lord just miraculously provided funds in country by the person who donated the property. He wanted to build the church, and it was all in country. This is a guy that lives in Cambodia. It was a miracle. And here's the church. And if you want to go to the next slide, this is the inside of the church. Another slide. We're preaching the first baptismal service, and this was not long ago. This was in December. Next slide. This was the bunch that we baptized. I baptized half, and then the national pastor, I'll just show you his picture. He's right here, right there. I led him to the Lord in the year 2000, and now he's pastoring there. I know most of the time, Brother Needham, I know the Nationals are supposed to be doing all the baptizing, but I just wanted to get on it. So so I baptized half, and the National pastor baptized half. But it was incredible. from impossibility, hopelessness, the Lord has put an unbelievable church there, and we're just rejoicing over what God has done. And it's a testimony to the community. They knew we were in trouble. The neighbors knew that. In fact, they persecuted us. They said, Jesus stole their land. That's what they said. They come up to me and say, Jesus stole our land. We didn't steal your land, but the government, there's no infrastructure, no computers, no records. You can buy this piece of property and someone else could be owning it or buying it at the same time or a different time. It's just crazy. But anyway, but the Lord allowed us. Again, it's a miracle. And we just want to praise the Lord for what He's done, allowing us to get the property back and then establish this church there. The next slide, but before we go back up one more, I want to just show you this lady right here. You can see her smiling, just glowing for the Lord. I want to give a testimony, a true story about her. And if you want to go to the next slide, the incredible faith of a widow lady. And I just want you to look, again, we're referencing Hebrews 11:6, Malachi 3:10, we just read those. But I want you to turn to Isaiah 54. And if you're a widow here tonight, I just want to encourage you with something. This is an incredible story. I must tell you, I am telling you the truth. Some people, they doubt what I am sharing is true, but it is. I just want to clarify that. But in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 4 and 5, the end of, look at this, Isaiah chapter 54, the end of verse 4, it says, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Now look at verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband. This is a widow's promise. Thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts. And this lady, her name is Yin. The next slide, you'll see her. I'm baptizing her, and I'm just going to run this video, but I'm baptizing her in the pond behind the church. And I look at her as a granddaughter of mine, spiritually speaking, because I led national pastor to Christ there on the right in the white shirt, and he led her to Christ. So indirectly, she is my granddaughter in the Lord. And I've had the privilege here to baptize her, and we're all clapping and praise the Lord. She was one of 28 that we baptized that day. But I want to share an incredible story of faith that she shared with my wife and some other folks. And it's just unbelievable. But again, with God, all things are possible. She is a widow lady. Her husband died of malaria. In this area, there was a lot of malaria, so there are a lot of widows there. We haven't contracted any malaria. I think it's pretty much wiped out just through insecticides. And actually, the man who headed up malaria prevention went to our church. We also have an International Baptist Church, but he's a medical doctor, and he oversaw all malaria prevention for all of Asia and the Pacific. But they're doing a really good job at eliminating it now. But a few years ago, it was really bad in this area. So she's a widow and with five children. And I want to go to the next slide. I want you to just look at this house. It looks a lot different than the houses that we have here in America. That is a typical. And if you want to turn off those lights right up front, maybe you can see a little bit better, because I want to show you something underneath the house. So if you could just turn these lights off, that would be great. But underneath this house, there's a table. And the reason why I point that out is because of what I'm going to share with you right now. One day, the children were suffering. The children of this widow lady, the five children, were suffering from malnutrition. And that is not uncommon there in Cambodia. And sometimes the hair color will change. It'll turn oranges red. And that is one of the signs. And a big belly is another sign, marasmus. Well, these children were just suffering from malnutrition, and they wanted some meat. They wanted some protein. And here's a lady who recently had trusted the Lord, and she really meant business. Not only did she accept the Lord, but she got rid of her altar that was in her house to the spirits. Because in Cambodia, there's ancestral worship or animism. So when she trusted the Lord, accepted the Lord, it was all out. She turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan and the God. She got rid of the altar inside her house. She tore down the spirit house in front of the house. She got rid of her belt, this black magic belt that would help protect her from evil spirits. And she stopped going to the Buddhist Wat. I mean, she had a new Lord. She had a new spirit. The Holy Spirit was indwelling her. She had a new family, the church. She had a new book, the Bible. And everything changed. Like the Bible says, behold, all things became new. And now she's faced with a serious problem. Her children are starving. Before she would go to the Wat, the Buddhist temple, and beg. Or she would go to the witch doctor and try to get help from him. But now she's taking steps of faith in her new life with Christ, and she's learning how to pray. And this is just incredible. But she heard the cry of her children, and she just called out to the Lord in faith, just proving God. God, if you're such a great God, the God of the Bible, the great creator God, she was just proving God. She was just asking God to feed her children. And again, she had no one to turn to but God. The next morning, there was a freshly killed chicken laying on the bed or the table underneath the house. And she said, praise the Lord. God answered her prayer, and the children were so excited, they cooked the chicken and ate it. And then the next morning, another chicken, freshly killed, just sitting right there for them. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And then she got curious. She thought, who is giving us the chicken? So the next morning, she is ready for the visitor, the one providing the meat. She's hiding, looking out the window. And lo and behold, she saw a hawk. H-A-W-K, a hawk, fly in with the chicken. This is not the first time. If you read in 1 Kings 17, verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now just think, she's a widow, the maker of that hawk. Is her husband. And God is commanding the hawk. I mean, it's incredible. I'm thinking, lady, you need to teach me how to pray. I need to go to your prayer conference. I mean, here's is a baby, but I shouldn't say baby Christian. I mean, here's a lady that in simple childlike faith just calling out to God, and God is doing miracles. I mean, this is incredible. And then the children, they wanted a diet change. They got sick of eating chicken. So they said, Mom, just pray for fish. And the next day, there was somebody right in the location where her house was. And they gave her all this fish. But they didn't know why they were there. But she knew God had answered her prayer again. And it's just incredible. Now, again, the children are seeing faith in action. They're seeing her mother or their mother pray, and God answers. God is just doing miracles. And this next story, it's a true story. Again, incredible, but I'm telling you the truth. This is really, and this happened. This is one of our church members. This is one of our churches. Just incredible. But this last story, this lady, again, why don't you back up here? And I just want you to see her again. Again, this is the lady. Her name's Yian. But she's now become a real pillar in the church. She just doesn't come to church. She comes with her relatives and her friends and her neighbors. And one Sunday morning, she didn't have any fuel. She didn't have any gas for her moto. And they drive little mopeds. And Mike and the rest of the crew from Maguanagos has seen this. They're not big Harleys. They're just little motos. And she had a modest little moto. But she had no fuel. Now, not going to church was not an option. In other words, she had to get to church. Skipping church was not for her, okay? She had become a pillar in the church. So, but she's having like, obviously, in a quandary here. What should she do? She can't beg. There's no one around that she could borrow the money from. She lives out in the jungle there. So what did she do? She prayed. And this is what happened. The children, they had seen the miracles from their mother praying. And the children initiated it. The children said, "Mom, just pray for money." And the mom said, "That's a tough thing to pray for." And the children said, "No, God will do it. Just pray for money." And again, she prays in faith, calling out to God, proving God. "God, you're so great. There's nothing too hard for thee. You provided food for my children. Would you provide money for us to purchase gas so we could go to church?" And folks, I'm telling you the truth. Before she could say amen, the children interrupted her and said, "Mom, there's money. There's money falling." And she didn't quite understand what the children were saying. And she thought the children were being naughty. And the children said, "No, Mom, there's money. There's money." And I got to show you this. I have a bill. This is a 10,000 real bill. 10 of these floated down the sky, brand new. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, God literally opened the windows of heaven and poured out this money. Brand new. I mean, and where did it come from? People say, "Was there a big building around there?" There was no skyscrapers. No banks, no ATM, no plane flying over and someone threw out money. No, it was God. God did it. God honored the faith. The simple faith of this widow lady. It's just incredible. And for those that have been in Cambodia, one 10,000 real bill is worth about $2.50. So what came floating down from heaven was $25, which was enough for her to fill up her moto. And anyway, I just wanted to share that, just to encourage. Obviously, we're all on a journey of faith. We're all learning how to pray. But I just thought that that testimony was just incredible. I mean, it just brought tears to our eyes. Just was an encouragement to us. Even our Cambodian brethren, they just couldn't believe how the Lord provided that way for her. And she came to church that Sunday, and she was just glowing and just sharing what the Lord did. It was just incredible. But next slide, real quickly. Next slide. I just wanted to just talk about, real quickly, the faith of this guy. If you go to the next slide, this guy, I was able to lead him by the grace of God, by the power, just not I, but Christ. I mean, we're not here to boast. We're nothing. We're just servants of the Lord, but it's God, it's the Spirit of God. He's doing the work. But I was able to share the gospel with this man and lead him to Christ and baptize him. And then his son developed cancer of the small intestine. And developing cancer there in Cambodia is obviously very difficult. The medical care is very poor. And really, this was a huge trial for him. But he prayed for God, to God to heal his son. And God did it. I mean, God just miraculously healed his 2-year-old boy. And now his little boy is 8 years old, doing great. I mean, it's a real miracle. Anyway, he had one more test. And I love, if you back up, I reference Judges here. If you back up one slide, I reference Judges chapter 6. And I just want you to see this really quick because it will give you a picture of what it's really like in Cambodia. Again, problem with territorial. Again, I'm talking from Cambodia. This may be a little unusual. But in Cambodia, because of the spiritism, animism, we have territorial demons. And this man had a showdown, I'll say it that way, a test of his faith because of a problem with a territorial demon and a statue or an idol. And this man, next slide, and again, him, his name is Ron. He followed the example of Gideon. And again, I've never shared this with him, but you can see right here, Judges chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, Gideon destroys the altar of Baal. And this is what happened. This guy is a farmer, and the community or the village share a combine machine. And what they do is they cut the rice by hand with a sickle, and then they bundle it together, and then they take turns using a communal combine machine which separates the kernel, the rice kernel, from the chaff. Well, the neighbor went first. The unbelieving, demon-worshipping neighbor went first. And the machine worked perfect for him. Now here's where the test comes in. After the neighbor was finished harvesting his rice, now it was his turn. And the machine did not work for Christians. And he asked the neighbor, he says, "Why isn't the machine working?" And the neighbor said, "Did you light incense to the spirits this morning?" "Did you offer a sacrifice to the idol?" Now, not just the test of his child. Having, now he's being put to the test. And he's not about to bow down to the idol. In fact, he had done the exact same thing that the other lady did. And honestly, every Christian that gets saved there in Cambodia, every person, I should say, that gets saved, they need to obviously turn from darkness to light. That's what baptism is. Now, baptism is a big thing there in Cambodia because it really means that that person is turning from darkness to life, and the power of Satan and the God, it's big. And they need to separate from evil in all its form, alcohol, and everything else that goes along with that. Plus, they need to stop their demon worship, their lighting of incense. Well, anyway, this guy had done that. He turned from darkness. He got rid of the altar in his house. He broke down the spirit house in front of his house. He was living for the Lord. He was learning how to live the Christian life. He was learning to live by faith. He loved the Word of God, and God was preparing him to be a preacher. But this was his final test. And he wasn't about to turn back. And I can only share with you that he ended up following Gideon's example. He just destroyed the idol. He just broke it up. And again, he did it without getting in trouble. And he just realized that this idol was keeping him from doing God's will. And You know what, folks? Just as Gideon was anointed of the Lord. Look at verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. After Gideon destroyed the altar of Baal, that's when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And this man, he's anointed. He has the power of God upon his life. And I believe it's because God has taken him through some tests of his faith. And he's now pastoring our newest church there in the Gaio. But I just love the story how he just took on the territorial demon. He wasn't afraid. He didn't bow down. He got rid of it. And folks, there may be an idol in your life. You can make application. There may be something that's holding back the power of God in your life. There may be something. It may be technology. Whatever. If there's an idol in your life, it's going to keep you from having the power of God. It wasn't until Gideon destroyed the altar that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And just incredible story. The next slide. And I just want to talk about this drug lord here. This is another amazing story. Next slide. You can see him in the picture here. He's on the far left. But this guy was running a drug operation right across from our Phnom Penh church. And we were praying for months. And he kept on facilitating young men, helping young men use drugs. He confessed that he had helped 100 young men use drugs. And this was happening right across from our sports. If you go to the next slide, you can see a soccer field. So this operation was right across the street from our church's soccer field. This is our church over there, and this is our soccer field. So we were praying and praying. We talked to the police, and they didn't really do anything about it. After about 8 months, I was sitting with my son Jonathan, and I said, "Jonathan, what should we do?" And I should have known the answer. But my son said to me, "Why don't you lead him to Christ?" I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that? Okay. So, a few days later, we were out on visitation, just like you folks. And we have visitation on Tuesday also, just like you guys do. And I was walking by this drug operation, and the door of the drug house was open. So I thought, this is it. So I just stepped up, walked in, and there he was alone. Perfect divine appointment. And I was able to share the gospel with him, and he understood quickly he was a sinner. He realized that he deserved judgment in hell. He admitted it. And once someone will admit that, they're ready for the gospel. And I gave him the good news that Jesus loved him and that he died on the cross for him. Not just the foreigner. They think, oh, Jesus is the foreigner's religion. I say, no, Jesus is not a religion. He is the Creator God. He came. He died for you. He loves you just as much as he loves it. He loves everyone. And he just embraced the good news, the cross. He accepted the Lord. It's just a wonderful story. Back up. He trusted the Lord. If you back up one slide, and there he is. He's holding a Bible. I was able to baptize him after he got saved. But now his desire is to lead young people to Christ. Before he was young, obviously leading young people to use drugs. But these are just some of the miracles. Again, these are some of the highlights. But the next slide, I just want to go to the next. This is, again, our sports ministry. And I just want to share here quickly. In Matthew chapter 12, we find a tremendous passage. If you'll let me just share something briefly here. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you." Now think about this. We're talking about the strong man's house and how to spoil his goods. And this is the first step in soul winning, in discipleship, starting churches. It needs to start here. It needs to start on our knees, doing battle with the unseen enemy. Look at the next slide. Here we find the strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace. His goods are in peace. The strong man, as we all know, is Satan. The armor in which you trust is the fallen Adam. Think about this. Satan is using the world and all that is in the world to hold people. They're in bondage. Now, I'm talking about Christians right here now, but look at this. The only position for us, as we're praying for people that are just in bondage, chains of darkness, the only position which will despoil the straw man and take away the ground he holds is our standing upon Romans 6. Now, if we're struggling spiritually, if we're not having victory in our own Christian lives, we're not even in the battle. And that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants Christians to be discouraged, depressed, and just give up. That's why Satan so bitterly resists the preaching of the cross and the Christ light. He wants all of us Christians to be defeated. But folks, the victory's been won. Satan has been defeated, but most Christians live like Satan has won or has been the victor. You know what I'm trying to talk about here. You know what I'm saying. But look at this. This is why Satan so bitterly resists the preaching of the cross and the Christ life, especially in the aspect of Romans 6 and Colossians 2:15 as a fact to be believed and acted upon. Look at the next slide. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace. No, next slide. Yeah, here it is. For only the believer, look at this, for only the believer who stands in steady faith upon Romans 6 can prove Colossians 2:15 on behalf of others. And here's this verse. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made us show them openly, triumphing over them in it. And I love this verse. Verse 19 here, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. It says that you can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now look at this next section. The whole ground and pledge of this is the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And the next slide here, we must exercise this authority of Christ in prayer over the enemy. And this is my point in going through that. We need to learn how to pray effectively. We need to exercise the authority of Christ in prayer over the enemy with respect to our friends, co-workers, neighbors, relatives who are in bondage to the straw man Satan. And I know it's a spiritual battle. But we need to step up to the challenge. And I want to give a few more illustrations here. But look at this. The soul-winning warrior standing on Romans 6. I love this. Reckoning himself in the place where he alone is out of reach of the enemy can, in the name of Christ, claim the efficacy of the finished work of Christ over the power of the enemy as he grips those lost souls. And really, going forward on our knees is really praying like this, just doing battle on our knees. We call this spiritual warfare. The next slide, and you can see then the soul-winning warrior steps up to the challenge and steps out by faith by sharing the gospel. And I want to go to the next slide here and just talk about spoiling the goods and just give you a few illustrations here. Let me get a drink here. Go to the next slide, please. I love this song. It's really an issue of absolute surrender to Christ to do His will. Really, it's all about yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, in dependence on the Holy Spirit. But we need to pray. We need to pray in faith. We need to do battle on our knees. Next slide. Here's the chorus. We know these hymns. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne, and my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Go to the next slide. This is some words from Pastor Van Gelderen. Lord, I need to love you by giving myself to you. for the love of Christ concerning surrender. Look at the next slide real quickly. This is my own personal testimony. God opened my eyes to the truth of the harvest during a Netcaster soul winning course. I took this course in 1998, and it was there that I surrendered. Before, I'll be honest with you, I'd go out on soul winning or visitation, and I went in unbelief. And the Lord just brought me. I took this class, and God just met with me and just showed me that I was committing the sin of unbelief, that I wasn't really believing that there was a great harvest. And the Lord just opened my eyes. And next slide, and began teaching me about divine appointments. And I love speaking about divine appointments. I'll never forget, as I was learning about divine appointments and the harvest, I met a man at a grocery store, just like some of the testimonies here earlier this evening. And I had purchased some things, and I was about to walk through the line. And after I took care of everything, I met this man on the other side. And I've probably shared this testimony before, but it just illustrates the divine appointment. When I got on the other side, I handed a gospel tract to this man, and the front of the gospel tract says, "Are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven?" And when the man saw that, he was shocked. He was stunned. Speechless. So I began to talk to him again. And I said, "Sir, could I talk to you more about this?" And he said, "Yes." And I left the store with him. And again, real sharp guy, well-dressed. He was sincerely searching. And we sat down in the parking lot, and I was able to lead him to Christ. He accepted the Lord, and then he shared this with me. He said, "I just came from the graveyard." He had been praying over his father's grave. It was the anniversary of his father's death. And he was praying over his father's grave. "Oh God, show me how I can be 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven." And that's exactly the title of this gospel tract. And it was a miracle. I mean, I call it a divine appointment. I remember catching up to a lady that was walking into a store, and the Holy Spirit just impressed upon me, "This lady is your divine appointment." As I parked the car and caught up with her, and I pulled out a gospel tract and handed it to her. She was shocked. She said, "All day long, I was hoping someone could share the gospel with me." I called the Catholic priest. He didn't have the answers. I called my friends. I talked to my neighbors. And there I was, handing a gospel tract to her. I call these divine appointments. And many of you have these divine appointments. But God is looking for a few. That's what the Bible says. The harvest is plenteous, but the labor is a few. Next slide. If you look at the Word of God, this is really true. The harvest truly is plenteous. God said it. I didn't say it. And we're going to continue on this tomorrow night with the men. But I just want you to look at these verses and just consider that maybe what God says about the harvest is true. Because most Christians don't believe it. If you look at the statistics, less than 5% of Christians ever lead somebody to Christ. But look at this. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. The harvest truly is great. The problem is not with God. It's not with His Word. It's not with the Holy Spirit. The problem is us. It's you and me. We don't believe it. We don't have the power of God, and we're missing divine appointments everywhere. Just like the song. I mean, the song service was wonderful, dealing with that anywhere. Doing whatever God wants us to do as far as the harvest is concerned. But John 4:35, white already. Tremendous. Look at the next verse here. I just want to go to the next slide. Just the application like before. Take by faith that there is a great harvest. And again, this is the challenge here for you all tonight. Take by faith that there's a great harvest out there right where you live and work. Act in faith upon the fact of a harvest by going and expecting God to use you. Again, very simple. And many of you are doing that already. But I just want to encourage some that may not be there yet. And I just want to stir you to faith in the fact, the truth of the harvest. And it's really true. We've been witnessing to lots of people while we've been back. And we're about to go back to Cambodia. But we've seen some people saved. We've seen a number of people saved. And God continues to confirm to me that this is really true. Look at the next slide. Here's a good definition. Taking what God says is true, a truly plenteous and great harvest, and then acting. Acting upon it by going and expecting God to give you some amazing divine appointments. And I just want to close by saying this. As a physician, I've been able to look at the situation that's happening in America, maybe a little different than you are. And I remember one time I was in a pharmacy in California, and the pharmacist was a Muslim. And I walked in and gave him a gospel tract and shared my testimony. And then he asked me this question. He said, I don't understand this. I'm filling scripts for tranquilizers, minor tranquilizers, antidepressants, more than anything. I mean, that was most of the scripts that were written by doctors that he was filling in that pharmacy. And he said to me, I don't understand it. These people have big houses. They have a swimming pool, two cars. And he just was wondering why these people that had everything they wanted needed psychotropic drugs. And I was able to share the gospel with this guy. And it just reminded me of what I was seeing in practice. The top drug prescribed in America when I was practicing medicine in Milwaukee was Xanax. It was a minor tranquilizer. And folks, people, they can't cope with life. Why? Because, as we've heard before, God does what? There's a God-shaped hole in every man's soul that only He can fill. Only God can meet our needs. And we just need to realize there are people hurting all around us. I met a man not long ago. And it was about 4 months ago. And our car broke down. And I was trying to get some help for it. And my daughter and I, we were working on this. My little daughter, Victoria. And she was praying that the Lord would help the car to start. And this man walked in, and he knew something about cars, and I asked him, would you take a look at our vehicle? And he said, sure, and he walked out, and he immediately diagnosed the problem. And the car started, and I just thanked him. And then I pulled out a gospel tract, I gave my testimony, and then he said this to me. He said, I just recently lost my wife. And I'm thinking about ending my life. That's what he said to me. I thought, wow. Well, I encouraged him not to do that, and that Jesus knew all about his situation. I said something to that effect. I told him that Jesus loved him and that there was a better way to deal with this problem. But I couldn't lead him to Christ right there. But 9 days later, I got his phone number. And 9 days later, I went with the pastor of a nearby local church. And I was able to lead that man to Christ. And it was just a great ending to that story. But what I'm trying to say is there are people hurting everywhere. Just and like the Curtis shared that testimony, the man depressed. I met a guy in Subway who was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. He had a terrible experience in a church. A friend of his wife was killed by somebody in the church, and he was just scared to death to go to church. And I gave him a gospel tract, and then I took the next step. I said, can I talk to you about the gospel? I said, that's not real Christianity. You know, you shouldn't be afraid to go to church because of something bad happening. And I was able to sit down and go through the entire plan of salvation. He accepted the Lord. It's just amazing. And then just real quickly, 10 days ago, I met a guy in another restaurant and his house had burned down. I mean, these are divine appointments. And the guy was just like, he said to me, I think God's trying to get my attention. And I was able to give him the gospel and lead him to Christ. And what I'm trying to say is there are people hurting all around us. And Jesus said that in Isaiah 61, I mean, Jesus quoted Isaiah 61 in Luke 4. But I just want to close with Isaiah 61. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And folks, I just want to close by saying God's heart is breaking for the lost. We need to have Jesus' heart, His heart of compassion. And obviously it's the Spirit of God. We need to repent of unbelief. We need the power of God. But the fields are truly white. White already. The harvest is truly great, truly plenteous. And we just need to go in faith, taking what God says is true, that there is a great and plenteous harvest for each one of you, and then acting upon it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will give you some amazing divine appointments. I just want to close with, I remember working in an ER, and I love this story. I was working in an emergency room, and this teenage boy tried to kill himself. He took 30 oral hypoglycemic pills. And that definitely would have killed him. But someone found out, they called 911. He was coming in an ambulance. The ambulance told me, we got an overdose coming in, get ready. So I told my staff, I got this 13-year-old boy coming in. So this, the first words out of his mouth when he came into the ER, he said, "Don't save my life." And I said, "I have to save your life. It's my job." He says, "No." But we obviously took care of him, pumped his stomach, put him on a dextrose drip. But I had the joy of making rounds at that hospital just about 48 hours later. And I went in to see this little boy. And I just love to share this. He was ready. God, the Spirit of God was working in his heart. And he was ready to hear the gospel. And I just sat down to him, next to him, and I said, and he was obviously depressed, wanting, hoping to end his life. But I said to him, if no one loves you, God does. And I said, I love you too. And I began sharing the gospel. And he was wide open. He understood that he was a sinner. He deserved judgment. He realized that. And then I was able to give him the rest of the story, the good news. And he understood and believed that God loved him. And I was able to lead him to Christ. And it was just glorious to see that glow of joy on his face, contrasted to the face, that look of dismay and depression as he came into the ER. But I share that because what that young man needed was not a prescription for an antidepressant. I could have written a prescription for him, a Prozac. But you know what he needed? He needed Jesus. He needed a meeting with God. And I was able to share the gospel and lead him to Christ. And folks, there are people, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, your relatives, they're waiting for you. I just want to encourage you that you're the missionary here tonight. There are multitudes of people all around us, they're searching. Honestly, I believe the harvest truly is great because God said it. And if we'll just take it by faith and act upon it and go in dependence upon His Spirit, we're going to see hundreds saved. Honestly, you're going to see it. And because God is working, He's already working. The Spirit of God is preparing. He's just looking for a few laborers that will cooperate with Him and share the gospel. Folks, I just want to stir you with that. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share this story, this message. Father, this challenge. Father, we're looking to you here tonight. Would you use something that's been said? Spirit of the living God, would you just open our eyes to this great truth that there is a harvest waiting for each one of us, that the harvest truly is great, white already. Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. Forgive us for our lack of power. Forgive us for missing opportunities, divine appointments. Lord, just show us the next step here. And Lord, work, I pray, in each one of our hearts. And thank you for this night together. In Jesus' name, amen.